right. Call our meeting back to order. Commissioners Straffus and Fennell, Strahan absent. Got Spencer Jones and Frank Miller. Welcome, guys.
We're going
to talk about T-Highway. Who would like to start?
I can. Based upon our conversation last week, we were evaluating which projects we would apply for a Tiger II grant. And through that evaluation, it came up that there may be another option. And looking at partnering with MoDOT on a 50-50 cost share program to maybe accelerate that project for construction. And so what you guys asked me to do was to contact Frank, have him attend a meeting with the commission and kind of discuss the details of that program and the opportunity of taking advantage of that funding to try to get the much-needed improvements to T-Highway and 76. So with that, I'll kind of let Frank pick it up.
Okay. Actually, we have two opportunities for this. One, I think Spencer has mentioned, is the statewide cost share program. It's competitive. There's funding available in 2015. They've had a meeting this week to review some applications, and they only gave out a relatively small portion of that money, wanting to see whether applications might come in. Given that the size of this project's relatively small, though, we have an opportunity to look at what we call an in-district cost share, which is using regular district funds to partner with a local agency on the project. That gives us a little bit more flexibility. Funding might be available earlier than 2015, obviously. So I think that's the route I would recommend for T Highway in Route 76. When we went through our District 8 planning workshop that I know you attended and worked with our planning partners, that came up as a priority, so it's good for us if we can address a priority on that list and do that through a partnership.
Okay. You mentioned before 2015, as in like this year we could do something, next year?
Yeah, I think potentially, yes.
Okay.
Actually, let me take that back. Probably next state fiscal year, which would be next summer. And the reason why I say that is that we actually have a balance of funds available in District 8's rural side, which is outside the Springfield area. But as a state, we are what we call over-programmed for 2011, which is our current fiscal year.
So basically July of 11,
yes,
potentially money could be – that's the first money could come available.
Yeah.
Over-program means engineering and –
It means
different things that you have to do to make something like that.
Right. And what it means is that as a state, we've got all of our money used up for 2011.
Okay.
But that we should have some available for 12 that we can use.
So what is the process then? I mean, what to go through is say the commission says that's what we want to do, mm-hmm. and we'll do a cost share, whatever the cost share.
Right.
And I guess we're talking 50-50. Is that what
we're
talking about? Yes.
For an in-district cost share, what we would do is look at asking if you guys could complete design, because our designers are busy with resurfacing jobs and bridge jobs, and we've added a whole lot of them this year. So we do not have capacity to design this ourselves.
Okay.
And we would ask if you guys could do that, and we would give you a credit towards your 50% for that design.
Okay.
And then in return, we'd ask if we could have a credit for the inspection, which we should be able to do that. And then the construction cost, utility cost, if there's any right-of-way, I don't know if we have to buy an easement or any at all, but if there's any right-of-way expenses, we would count that also. Any utility costs that are charged to the project, not utilities that have to move because they're in the right-of-way, but ones that maybe are in an easement next to it, you have to pay to move those, and we could count that also.
Okay.
And just total all up and split it 50-50.
And the basis of that is that if they're in the right-of-way, the utilities move them at their expense. If they're out of the right-of-way, then
we move at our expense.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have to get more easement then.
Yes. And that with the improvements that we're talking about there that we would anticipate there, we would have to do some right-of-way acquisition.
So from a design perspective, we'll look at stacking, how many cars we can stack going either direction, mm-hmm. and that will determine how much easement we'll have to actually purchase. And
mm-hmm. Right. We'll do some traffic counts there to look at the turning movements, and that will help us identify the physical features of the intersection improvement to make sure that we can accommodate that. Now, one question, and we've not talked to any of the property owners, but if we could get donated right-of-way, that could also be credited.
Yeah, we'll give you a credit for the value of the donated right away.
Okay.
And will that be 100%? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what those details are. if we can make that happen, there's an advantage to the county to be able to do that.
Is there any wild figure of what we're talking about?
I don't know. I mean, here's what I can say is that looking back at what we did at Coon Creek in 76 and anticipating that the improvements here would be similar in nature to that, that project, the construction cost for that project was somewhere around $275,000. Plus you had to add the design fees and the right-of-way acquisition and utility adjustments. So we're saying that, you know, $400,000, I mean, and I'm, you know, just ballparking a number, somewhere in that order of magnitude, should be able to get this project done. So then if we're looking at a 50-50 cost share, you know, it'd be in the range of $200,000 apiece.
Okay.
And we'll be able to quantify that as we move further through the process. And even if the, let's say the cost does go up once we get through the design process, we're still, everybody's still protected on a 50-50 level. It's not like there's a, you know, that MoDOT only pays $200,000 and the county's left with the remaining balance. It's still a partnership.
If we can wait till the design's completed and we've signed off on the design, then we know, we feel pretty comfortable with that estimate then, and we're willing to then say, okay, it's going to be 50-50, and if there's an overrun, you know, we'll share that cost with you.
Okay.
Or an underrun, we'll share the savings.
So first question, or another question, is approximate cost of the design work.
I'm seeing it being very similar to 76 and Coon Creek Road, so we'd be somewhere around
30 to 40,000.
Okay. And that would include, you know, full design and right-of-way documents. And then again, we would work with MoDOT on both of those. I mean, as partner, they would do review on both. Very similar to what we did.
Would there be any, I mean, there's some sharp turns. I mean, is there any realignment discussions in that, or is that something?
At this point, I mean, we could evaluate that, and we could actually talk to some more MoDOT staff about any necessary realignments, but right now we're really looking at an intersection project. I think if we get much bigger than that in scope, we may have some difficulty in trying to do something.
Yeah, it becomes more of the statewide cost share program, and that's a lot more competitive. I think it's
versus an in-district, you're saying?
Yeah.
You said in-district cost share, right?
Okay. Because we're essentially going into maintenance mode, focusing on bridge rehabilitation and resurfacing, but we can do these smaller spot projects that have it's a relatively good bang for the buck because it's a higher priority, but it's a relatively small project.
Okay.
Going back, Frank, to overruns or coming in under cost, it's still a 50-50 thing.
Yes.
Is that what you were saying?
If
we ran over $50,000, MoDOT's going to do half of that, the county would have to do half.
Right. And that's for all aspects of it. We'll look at the actual, what will happen is we'll get into, we'll draft an agreement, and the agreement will lay out the parameters for how we're going to share in the cost. And they'll say these items count towards what we're cost sharing on. And there'll be an estimate in there about what we think that will cost. And then at the end, our accountants will reconcile that based on actual expenses. So we'll take invoices that you may have incurred to pay an engineer, and we'll look at the construction costs, change orders, our inspection costs, total up, and then reconcile it at the end.
One thought I've got is we have no press or really public here. I think it'd be good. This makes sense to me. Sounds like a good thing, something we ought to pursue. But I'd like to see us Monday have this on our agenda and just talk about it. You're going to have a few folks, as always, that are opposed to it. I can hear somebody saying, well, this is a state road. Why are you spending county sales tax dollars on it? And, of course, the answer to me is real easy. Hardly anybody except folks in the county go through this intersection, and it benefits them. And it won't happen for another 4 years if we don't do a cost-share type situation.
Best-case scenario is 4 more years, 2015, right?
Right, and that's for the statewide cost-share program. And basically, I mean, this when you look at the crash data, this doesn't warrant safety funding, so I can't use that. I'm using basically our generic regional funding.
Okay.
And, you know, if you participated in the Southwest Missouri Advisory Council PAC meetings, when somebody says, hey, we want to do a project, the other areas of the region are saying, well, then what are you contributing to this project?
Right.
Because they see the benefit of taking this money and stretching it out further, because we can help help do two needs with instead of just one.
Right.
And really, since we're in maintenance mode, it's difficult for us to get anything amended to our program unless we're saying, hey, we can bring in other money to help fund this project. Just doing it as a pure project can be difficult sometimes. A pure MoDOT project can be difficult doing it unless it's related to the maintenance objectives.
The other side is there's those that'll have questions, but there's also those that travel that every day or often that will be very pleased to hear that something's coming, and I think that's a good thing for all of us in one way or another. So
I agree. Hey, and then just to kind of give you a little bit of information about that intersection, I mean, from 1997 to 2007, there's been 49 accidents at that location.
Say that again. From 97?
To 2007, there's been 49 accidents at that location. So from the safety perspective, that's not necessarily, a big number. And there's been no fatalities, fortunately. But there are other things like congestion, and that's one thing that we'll look at whenever we do our traffic counts. We'll look at how long somebody has to wait in order to make those movements. And to what the conflicts are, trying to reduce those conflicts so that we can move traffic through that intersection better as well. So that'll be part of the upfront engineering information that we collect.
Coming from the east going west, will there be a turn lane there? Is that what you're talking about doing?
I anticipate that there will be.
Be a turn lane?
Do the protected left turn lane.
Uh-huh.
But until we do the traffic counts,
From east to west, coming from Kirbyville,
a right turn lane.
Will there be a right turn lane or not?
Like a drop right?
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, but we'll look at that turning movement. There may not be. I mean, it'll depend upon...
I'm just thinking congestion. I mean, obviously the bridge, we have a big funnel now that comes down to... And that intersection is probably the first major intersection that starts, besides the lakeshore, that starts congesting or slowing down traffic right there.
What we'll do a directional study on where people are going as they come through that intersection.
Okay. We'll
get an actual count and look at the conflicts there. And again, if there's a high level of conflict, then we'll look at what we can do to mitigate that.
From a timing perspective, from the study, you wouldn't start until after school starts, probably, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And that's 9 months of the year. That's a realistic.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're getting
close to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So timing-wise, I think that'll be perfect. And I think by initiating this now, we should be able to hit a July construction schedule.
And that's the first you get money, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can look and try to see if we can do something for next spring, because if we have a lot of, and we continue to get good bids, sometimes with a project this small, we can go ahead and put that in.
Okay.
So.
And we'll try to do just like we did at 76 Coon Creek to minimize the impact of traffic.
So, Frank, one of the questions is, is it a cost share? So would we bid it? Would you bid it? How is that?
I think let's assume that MoDOT would bid it.
Okay.
That's typically easiest for everybody.
Okay.
If we're doing that.
Okay.
FYI, we did visit with HDR this morning about the Tiger II and the planning, and that's part of our deal that we're moving forward on that quarter. While we've got you, how about anything new on... Gosh, I lost the road. That's terrible.
I'm
going through Bull Creek. Lost the letter.
F, right up.
F. Good golly.
Nothing new on that. Chad Zickfried's been on vacation. He's on his second week of vacation, so I haven't had a chance to talk to him to see what they've decided to do with 160 and F yet.
Okay.
It sounds like more, based on the last conversation last time I've heard him talk about it, they were looking at just rerouting 160 down F and essentially switching them and changing the stop conditions so that traffic going through Route F would not have to stop. They would just go through and be the traffic coming on existing 160 that would be stopping at the intersection.
I think there's lots of interest about that. Huge need. Everybody knows that.
If we do that, it's not going to be very expensive, so we'll have to have another discussion with Taney County and Forsyth about what to do with the remainder of that earmark we have.
Right. Okay. Sounds good. What else we need to talk about?
So your plan of action, have a discussion on Monday.
This is already Thursday, just for...
Okay.
So good measure, and then let them go.
Okay.
Everybody's on the same line. I think Danny'd surely be of the same part on it.
And then we'll just go through application. Before we hire the engineer, do we'll have to have an agreement ahead, a place ahead of time? How would that work?
Yeah,
what's
the
timing of that?
Kind of talk about how we do that. I think the best way to do it, since it's an industry cost share, it's not an application. We just need to be able to justify it based on our planning partner priorities, and I think we have that because it was number 7th this year when we met to rank projects, which it's a high priority. It was 7th on the list. What we'll have to... The best way, I think, to move forward would be to have county proceed with design and work through our review process so that you have us sign off on what that design says. And at that point, you have a pretty firm estimate. We can do it where we just start out with the estimate based on our best guess at this point, but I don't recommend that because if we run into something that significantly changes it and we decide we want to walk away from it, that way we haven't signed anything yet. I don't think that will happen on this project because it's so small, but it's better to kind of make sure it's designed. We know, for example, the right turn lane, maybe there is a big need to do that, and we want to know that before everybody signs the agreement. So once we had the design essentially firmed up and signed off on, then I recommend starting up the agreement. And you can get, we'll give you credit for what you've already incurred for the design at that point.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
I don't have any more questions. Something else? Anything else we haven't talked about?
No. I mean, do you think we can maybe schedule this before? Because we've got the transportation committee meeting.
He's talking about doing it Monday morning for our public session, just because that's usually covered by press and all that. And that.
I've got a conflict in the morning.
I don't know if you'd need to be here.
I wasn't thinking necessarily you need to be here. I mean, you gave us
really more of a discussion.
Few figures and
I can work up a table that would show you, I mean, based on their very preliminary numbers, what it might look like, the cost split out and the breakdown. Would you be interested in that?
Like by Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah, anything like that would be great.
Yeah, if we can get Spencer to guess right away cost. Real
quick. We can come up with it.
If you can do something. Any kind of info you could get us by Monday morning would be
maybe approximate, but you'd see what it would look like, how the breakdown would be, and then we would refine that, obviously, when we can finish design.
That'd be great. That'd be wonderful. So you'll come to the transportation meeting after that in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if we would move that fast. I mean, because paper hits Wednesday, so we'd probably want to wait till after the Wednesday, because that's when if we talk about it Monday, we probably need to push it back at least a week for a decision. So it's going to put it in perspective because we discuss it Monday, it makes the paper Wednesday. Usually if there's some negative, we'll get phone calls.
That's right.
Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. And so the following Monday, we could, if things are tracking well, then we can just jump on the application at that point or the contract. So just for you to know the timeline.
Yeah,
if we're going to wait till Monday to get public comment, then it's traditionally 3 days after the paper gets out. So that's all I have questions. I think it's a good project.
So. Me too. All right. Well, thanks.
I've got a question on the Tiger II applications for both East-West Road and Fall Creek Road. One thing that we've not indicated at this point is what kind of percent match the county might be interested in as we complete the pre-applications. Now, it's not mandatory, since we are in a rural area, it's not mandatory that we make that intent clear at this point, but I don't know if you want to go ahead and indicate that on the pre-application.
We talked this morning. Right. Jim started it on the planning, and we decided not to do any match.
Right.
Okay. So that's how we'll submit the pre-application.
Didn't we talk about match on the Fall Creek?
I was going to go back. Huh? 20%. I thought that was...
That's what we said in the meeting, 20%.
Okay. I just want to confirm that. Now, on the East-West Road, we knew that we had not indicated. We're going to go zero on that.
I think we said zero because of the... If we can get the easements.
Yeah.
But I think we said 20% on the Fall Creek match. on the intersection only, which is what we're talking
right,
about.
Right.
And then I'm pretty sure we said no match on the
right. Okay.
East, I just want to confirm that we're, Maple Street intersection.
We're wrapping up those pre-apps.
And that's Monday. We'll vote on the application, so you'll have everything Monday, right?
Yep. And we'll make that submittal electronically on Monday.
Okay. So you won't be here at 9 o'clock Monday, and we won't have the application yet, right?
I can email you that application on Monday, so that you'll have it for your.
We post it for 9 o'clock Monday, but we can always just post it for the. I'll just move it. We'll move the posting to the afternoon with the TCAD. That way, we can do it all at one time.
Okay.
As long as you've got time to submit it after the 3 o'clock meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then
I'll actually submit it at the 3 o'clock meeting. I'll just press send. And then we'll confirm.
All right. I will repost it, then I'll post it.
And what was our cost on doing the Fall Creek, the engineering, doing the application?
$20,000. Gotcha. All right. I think it's an exciting opportunity to partner with
yep.
MoDOT and
get something done.
Yeah,
benefit a lot of folks driving through there. Lots of folks. Tell me again. Seemed like somebody mentioned the other day what the traffic is on 76 at that point.
Was like 118,000.
That's like on my handy map here. Yeah, it's 18,000 close, basically, in Branson, and closer there. I don't know if they have one out there or not.
I don't think there's one out there far. The closest count is 18,000, but that's at the bridge.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically, your biggest traffic generator is going to take that number down. It's going to be Lakeshore,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll lose some from...
Right.
Activities along there to T, but then T's probably the next one where it goes down again.
And that's why I think there's more congestion. That causes some congestion, pretty good congestion.
Yeah.
At least a clock timeline. So.
I'm surprised there wasn't more accidents for 10 years than what you said.
Yeah, that surprises too.
I've heard people say there's one every other week or something. Of course, our perception.
Right.
But still, that's plenty of accidents.
Yeah,
And it's a scary place to come in and out of.
And when we say it's not eligible for safety funds, it doesn't mean that a turn lane won't help alleviate crashes, but it's sort of grading on the curve.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
Thank you guys for
your work on it.
Appreciate it.
And we'll transfer over to our elected official.